Let's rise to our feet and sing our theme song one more time. Dosomi, I set the boundaries of the ocean vast, carved out the mountains from the distant past, molded a man from the miry clay, breathed in him life, but he went astray. I own the cattle. I would like to take this opportunity to thank all of you for the wonderful, blessed time we've been able to have together, for the community here in this place, for taking us into your hearts and your homes. I want to thank especially the brothers and sisters that were praying. And may God receive all the honor and the glory for any hearts that were touched through His Word this week. And especially we thank those that were praying that helped make this possible. We have indeed been in heavenly places these evenings. For my family and me, this has been very, very special. I want to thank you for that. I also thank you for the generous offering that you took for us on Wednesday. I want to ask for forgiveness if I've said anything that would hurt anybody, anything that would have been uncouth or radical. I tend to say what I feel, but I thank you for listening. And I want to also remind you that if you want to make me happy And especially if you want to make the Lord Jesus happy, the best thing you can do is go home and put it to practice. And we want to, like I said in the beginning, we want to prove that dear brother that said that the people in Lancaster won't change. We want to prove him wrong. So thank you and God bless you. Our theme scripture again. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. One more time. Tuck these words into your heart and take them home. Don't dare forget these wonderful words. What an invitation. What a command. And tonight I want to again express, if I can, in just a few words, the beauty of living the Christian life in this way. In giving the Lord Jesus Christ all our hearts, giving him his rightful place on the throne of our hearts, surrendering our lives to him and everything that we are to him. What a beautiful life to live. Are you excited tonight about King Jesus? This evening, as our dear brethren, Amish brethren, sang, my heart was overwhelmed because they couldn't hide it. They're excited about their King Jesus. And tonight it's not as important if you're Amish or if you're Beach or Eastern or whatever. But what's important is that you worship and obey King Jesus. And that he's a real part of your life. And you walk with him and you live with him. My question tonight, as these services end, my question is, what's holding you back? Now, I've stood in front of a lot of people having meetings, not usually this many. But after 10 days of hearing the Word of God preached, I've been in places where the majority of people came forward. I was in a service once when everybody went forward. And here again, I say this very kindly. Please don't take it as if I'm scolding you, Pennsylvania people. But compared to the amount of people that are here, very few came forward. I don't count them. The Lord doesn't let me do things like that. That's his job. What's holding you back? What might be holding you back from giving your heart to the Lord? Now, I want to also clarify. I know that a lot of you, like the brother Ben said, in your seats and have worshipped and committed your hearts and surrendered to God. That's wonderful. He thought there'd probably be 1,000. Oh, praise the Lord. Back in the time of Elijah, when he was so discouraged, the Lord said, there's 7,000 that haven't bowed the knee. So I hope Ben is right. But I also know, without having talked to some of you and without having done a count, but I know that there are a lot of people in this tent that have night after night been listening to the word that should have come forward and didn't. That's the specific crowd that I'd like to talk to this evening. Or if it's your first time, it doesn't matter. The question is, what holds you back from loving the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and all your strength? What might be holding you back? And as I preached, the Lord laid on my heart three little points. And since it's late, I'm supposed to make this short. I hope the Lord will bless us with his power and his Holy Spirit. I don't plan to be here very long tonight. But would ye, as we talk about these three issues that the Lord has laid on my heart to share that might possibly be things that are holding you back, please, if there's something else that I'm not mentioning, let God speak to you tonight. Let him show you what this is that's holding you back. Whatever shackles, whatever bonds would be holding you back. But before we go on, let's rise to our feet and read a scripture in John 11. Now, I used this before one evening, but I couldn't help tonight but just choose to use it again. John 11:33. This is a story when Lazarus had died and Jesus finally came to the house of Mary and Martha. And of course he knew it, but when he got there, the people told him that Lazarus had already died. In verse 33, when Jesus therefore saw Mary weeping and the Jews also weeping with which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled and said, "Where have you laid him?" And they said unto him, "Lord, come and see." Then Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, "Behold how he loved him." And some of them said, "Could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died?" Jesus therefore again, groaning himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. And Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said unto him, "Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead for 4 days." But Jesus said unto her, "Said I not unto thee that if thou wouldst believe, thou shouldst see the glory of God?" Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank thee, for thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me." And when he had thus had spoken, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with the grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. And Jesus said unto them, "Loose him and let him go." Heavenly Father, we ask this evening that you would loose the hearts tonight in this congregation. Lord, there's a whole bunch of people here. I don't know how many are here, but you do, and you love each one personally, and you're looking into each heart. Oh, Jesus, King Jesus, come down and loose the bonds that have the people in bondage. Break the shackles, oh Father, and make them free. Thank you, in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. A grave is cold. A stone grave. Is your heart like the grave of Lazarus tonight? A big old cold stone is on it. And Jesus stands in front of your heart weeping and wondering, when will you let him in? When will you let him come to deliver you and give you life? When will you move the stone away? And he weeps as he waits. Tonight, Jesus is knocking on your heart's door. He wants to come in. He wants to clean you up. He wants to deliver you, because after Lazarus was resurrected and he came out of the cave, he was still bound. There was something binding him. Grave clothes. And Jesus said, "Help him unwrap those grave clothes. He's in bondage. Something's holding him in. We need to get rid of the grave clothes." Is your heart full of dead bones? Is there spiritual death there? Does your heart stink with evil? Is your heart covered by a hard shell that Jesus can't get into? Maybe there's things in that shell that nobody knows about except you. And of course, your Heavenly Father. That's why Jesus weeps as he waits until you would be willing to open up your heart. Please don't refuse to let him into your heart tonight. He stands at the door of your heart and knocks. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me." Jesus is inviting you personally. As you hear him knock, he is inviting you personally to get up, come forward, and open your heart's door to let him in. And oh, what a beautiful thing that is. Can you imagine? The God of the universe, the God Jehovah that our brethren were singing about, he will actually come. This is not just a fable. This is not just a tall tale. This is reality. God Jehovah will come in your heart and live there and give you new life. What a beautiful thing. When the King Jesus comes into your heart, like he did in the temple that day, and his eyes were spitting fire, and he had a thong in his hands, and he cleared out the temple. He got rid of all the noise, all the cheating and the lying and the dirt and the crud. I believe after he cleaned out that part of the temple, they probably washed it, cleaned it up, because it was a house of prayer. Is your heart a heart of prayer tonight? Is it a house of prayer? Do you fellowship with Jesus? Can you imagine sitting down to a table? I've sat down to quite a few tables these last couple days, and we've had some beautiful fellowship here in Lancaster County. Thank you again, brethren. But can you imagine sitting down to a table that is set for you and the Master, for King Jesus, and you can sit down and spend time with him, and you can have a meal together and enjoy fellowship? That's what's being offered here. That's what Jesus says, open the door, let me in. But first of all, he needs to clean up your heart. He needs to get rid of all the sin, the pride, and all those things that might be keeping you back. Things that you hang on to, things that you cling to, that you have to turn loose to be able to be a friend of King Jesus. And he's waiting, and he's weeping, and he's knocking. Oh, that we as Christian brethren and sisters could live such lives that would awaken the thirst of those that know not our Lord Jesus Christ. So what are the shackles that hold you back? Tonight, the help of the Lord Jesus Christ and his Holy Spirit, we would like to help you find spiritual freedom, especially get rid of your idols. And like I said, I only have three things on my list, and there's so much more. Some of them seem big, some of them seem little, but we have to be free from our shackles. The first one I want to mention tonight is fear. There are a lot of people that are afraid. They're afraid to open up their hearts. They're afraid of the unknown. There is not enough faith there. And they live in fear. Hebrews 2:14 says, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, of the flesh and blood, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil. The devil is the one that makes us fear. So Jesus came and became like us and destroyed this fear, this power of death, and delivered them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Fear brings bondage. And many times it's fear that holds us back. We're afraid. We're afraid to die. And sometimes we're afraid to live. We're afraid to give our hearts to the Lord Jesus Christ. Why are we afraid to die? Death has a sting. And according to 1 Corinthians 15:56, the sting of death is sin. And that is exactly what Jesus came to get rid of. So you don't need to be afraid to die. But then there's some people that are afraid to live, because life brings so many surprises and so many difficulties and trials. And we all know it. When we commit ourselves to serve Christ, it won't always be easy. And there will be many difficulties that we need to face. I appreciate the testimony of our brother Timo and his family. What a surprise, what a shock. And they just pray, Father, give us our daily bread. Fear. Fear strikes our hearts. Some people are afraid of death, and some of them are afraid of life. Afraid to encounter the difficulties of life and the surprises and shocks that life brings to us. Romans 8:38 says, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, and then the whole list of other things, shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in the Lord Jesus, in Jesus Christ our Lord. You know, life gets rough. But the safest place to face whatever life has is when we give our lives to the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we let him into our houses, into our temples, when we let him into our families, into our churches, when he's real, when he's there. You know, the disciples, they were in that little boat and there was a terrible storm. And that little boat was just being rocked back and forth. And the waves were possibly 6 feet high. And the boat would go way up and then it would come crashing down. And there was water splashing in the boat. And some of the disciples were rowing and some of the disciples were bailing out water. They were desperate. They were sure they're going to die. And all the time, as they struggled and battered and cried out, there was somebody sleeping in the boat. The King Jesus was sleeping in the boat. And those poor disciples didn't know that as long as King Jesus was in that boat, there was no way possible that that boat could sink. But they had to awake him. They had to awake him. And Jesus rose up in the boat and raised his hands and said, "Peace be still." And the ocean was calm. How many times in our life when the storms come, we don't wake Jesus? We struggle. We fight. We go to the doctor. We do all kinds of things. The last thing we do, in a desperate measure, we wake the Lord Jesus in our lives and discover that all the time he was sleeping. And that when Jesus is in your life and the storm may be as terrible as it can be, the little boat just can't sink. Can you imagine a boat capsizing and men drowning when the creator of the universe is right there with them? Why are we afraid? When the creator of the universe is in our hearts through the Holy Ghost? But then we all realize that it's not easy. I'll talk just a little bit about the worst night that my family and I ever went through. Some of you have read it in my books. It was a night when two robbers came, just little robbers. They weren't very big. They didn't have machine guns. They didn't have the green uniforms like sometimes they did. They came with just one pistol, two men, a little one and another one a little bigger, but they were mean. They were playing in the devil's hands. And that night, fear struck our home like never before. We had met many robbers in that house. We had encountered them and we had given them coffee and we had given them food and we had even visited with them and witnessed to them and we had sang for them. But this night was totally different. It was a different night. And once they had my son tied up upstairs, and they had me and another fellow tied in the living room. They had tied my hands behind my back. They tied my feet together. And then they pulled my feet and my hands together like this. In a very, very uncomfortable position that we lay there for 2 hours. As he tried to convince us that we had to get some money around for him. Money we didn't even have. He wanted $4,000. And they were totally convinced that we're somehow going to be able to get it around for them. What a terrible night. They got there at 8:30 and left at 4 o'clock the next morning. We were hostage in our own homes. They had the keys. They were the boss. All we could do was run after whatever they said we'd do, whatever they said we should do. And that night it was different. I remember when I went up to the family that was in the bedroom and I tried to explain some things to them about what's happening. I don't remember the details. As we left the bedroom, I had to go back down to them. My wife grabbed my sleeve and she said, "Pablo, let's sing. Right here on the landing, let's sing." And I remember saying, "Well, let's sing, but it won't help." In my heart, I knew this was different. In my heart, I had a fear that somebody was going to die. And it was probably me. So we sang. But our song sounded hollow. Later that night, about 1 o'clock, they brought the family down and sat the family in a circle in the living room around my buddy and I when they had us tied up. after they tied us up and threatened to beat us and threatened many things, and nothing had happened yet, terrible. And as I lay there and the family came, they started talking about what measures they would take if we would not come up with the money. And they said, we'll give you 20 minutes. You talk about it in your language. And they went away and supposedly talking on the radios to their boss. And we lay there in tremendous fear. But we sang. I remember rolling up on my buddy because I was stiff and sore and used him as a pillow. And we sang. We sang songs in the dark. But again, it just seemed as if God wasn't there. Earlier when they tied me, I forgot to mention that, when they tied me, they were also upstairs tying up my son, and I didn't know what they were doing. But they had tied me securely, and I lay there on the cement floor. God was dealing with me, and I tried to break my shackles, and I wasn't able to. My wrists were still had scabs 2 weeks later from trying so hard to bust the shackles. And finally, I gave up, and I flopped back on the floor. And I had to deal with some things there in my heart, because like I said, I was sure somebody was going to die. There were some things in my heart that needed to be dealt with. But the main thing that happened that night was I remembered what I had preached the Sunday before. Sunday before, I had said to the congregation of Waslala, faith is believing even when you don't see, when you don't feel, when there's nothing left. Faith still believes in God. And as I lay there wallowing in my own fear and my own discouragement, I remembered those words and I blushed. God was there, but he was putting through us a difficult test to prove our faith. Later, sitting around the circle, they finally found my soft spot. And they said, if you don't give us the money, I'm taking one of these 15-year-old girls here, the twins, and they won't ever be the same. By then, we were tired. This is 1 o'clock. We're desperate. They leave. We have some minutes left yet to make a decision. There's a hush, a terrible hush in that room. And my family is whispering and saying, Daddy, couldn't you do something? Wouldn't there be something you could do? We had decided as a mission to not give ransom money. And I didn't have any money myself. The mission board had always told us that if we would perchance ever get into a situation where we felt we needed to give money, we could give of our own personal money, and I didn't have any. But I had sold some steers. They hadn't paid me yet. So I was thinking as I laid there on the floor, and my family was pleading and we were praying. I didn't know what was happening behind the scenes. Twin Jessica whispered over to Janie and said, who will go? And Janie said, I will. I'll go. Minutes later, my wife said, Pablo, if one of the girls go, which one? I said, Janie will. She's the strongest. Sometime later, they kept on pressuring and threatening, and finally the countdown, the moment came, and the fellow was angry, and he said, okay, his other fellow, the same fellow that had tied me, go get her. And then I said, please, could we talk? I sold some steers. And I had claimed I'd never do that. But that night I gave in and we made a deal. My son had to go borrow money in town to be able to pay these people, not near what they were asking for, but I gave him $1,000. Or we borrowed $1,000 that night while we were still hostages. They turned us loose. The family went upstairs as soon as there was any mention of money. And I paid back that debt after I got my steer money. And I have a very precious little piece of paper here that I carry in my billfold. This is a check when it came back from the bank when I paid the price for my daughter. What a difficult thing. What a terrible thing. But our testimony is as a family. that although God took us through that experience with very, very little feeling of his presence, we know he was there. And oh, as we look back at the things that could have happened, and as we look back at the terror that we experienced, and we knew, especially after God spoke to me there on the cement floor, he was always there. And because he was there, we came out victorious. My son had to take them for hours, the robbers, down the road, and didn't come back until 9:30 the next morning. And we were afraid he had been kidnapped. We were afraid that possibly they had killed him. But the Lord brought him back safely. And oh, what a time of praising and of rejoicing and of thanking God after an experience like that. You know, God was there all the time. He never left us once. Although he needed to try our faith. And when the storms of life come, can you believe it? Can you say, Lord, I'm willing to face anything? Maybe it's a death in the family. Some of you people have experienced tremendous suffering. Difficulties, probably worse than what I'm saying now, like Timo's situation. But if Jesus is in your heart, if King Jesus is your friend, if you have a relationship and you love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength, then you can be free. Even if you live in Waslala or China, wherever there's persecution, you can be free. You can serve the Lord. And you can say, Father, give us this day our daily bread. And every day, in the presence of our enemies, we can open the door of our hearts when he knocks, and we can enjoy fellowship with him as he sups with us and we with him. If you're bound by fear, it's time to ask King Jesus to come into your heart and bring life and resurrect you like he did Lazarus so that you can serve him with joy. The next point I have, I've already mentioned, so I'm going to be brief with this one. I already mentioned it. Bitterness, anger, and hate. What's holding you back from living a joyous Christian life? What a terrible burden to carry. Anger, bitterness, and hate. You know, God never meant you to carry those things around. He says in Peter that he wants us to bring those things to him. His shoulders are broad, casting our cares upon him, for he careth for us. An unforgiving spirit is an awful thing. And the thing that I mentioned the other day, and I'm going to repeat again because I imagine there's some people here tonight that weren't here when we talked about that. Matthew 6 says, for if ye forgive men their trespasses, this is right after the Lord's Prayer, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Do you want your fountain to dry up? Do you want the fountain of your forgiveness to be shut off? The valve, Jesus just closes the valve down? No go. If you don't forgive your brother, if you don't turn him loose, you've got him by the throat tonight. You can't stand him. It's time that you turn him loose, because as you grab him by the throat and that unforgiving spirit that you have, that you might have, immediately Jesus begins turning off the spigot of his love and mercy toward you. Because that would be so ungrateful, wouldn't it? That we, who men do something against us 7 times and we're already complaining, when we 70 times 7 have offended God in many, many ways, and God forgives us again, and then he forgives us again. Would you perhaps have needed God's forgiveness today? Preparing for this message on my knees, I said, Lord, please forgive me for anything that I've done. I don't want to stand in the way of the message tonight. Please cleanse my heart. Do you believe that happens when you pray sincerely? Okay, would you like to live turning that off and shouting to the ceiling and no answer there and no peace? Brethren, that will happen if we do not then in turn rise up from our knees and go forgive our brother. A brother told me today to go make a telephone call in the middle of my studies, and I almost said, brother, I'll call later because I am not done with my message. Time is flying. But the way the brother gave me this little piece of paper with a telephone number, something just said in my heart, go make that call now. And I did. And I'm glad I did, because it's actually one of the main points of this message tonight. Last night when I was preaching, there was a sister far away in another state trying to listen to that message. Excuse me, brethren. I got ahead of myself on a point here. I'm not done with bitterness and anger. We'll get back with this one that I'm saying now later. Sorry. Angry. Are you an angry person? There are people that walk around like a volcano ready to erupt. They're angry. They're angry at their wives. I'm talking to men now. Angry at their children. Angry at the church. Angry at the neighbors. They don't know why they're angry. But it ends up they're angry with God. Something's wrong. There's a problem there that make us bitter and angry. Sometimes it's the hurts from other people. Sometimes it's the circumstances. You know, the circumstances of life, like Timo's case. God can use that to make them soft and pliable and sweet. Praise the Lord. That's what's happening. As I saw them up here, I know Timo for years. Been a co-pastor for many years, and I can see God is doing something very beautiful. But you know, that same trial, if taken wrongly, when faith lacks and when we rebel, that same trial will make us bitter and grouchy and hard to get along with. Maybe that's you tonight. We have a volcano in Nicaragua, Volcán Mombacho. And it's a beautiful volcano. He's dormant, let's put it that way. And he's covered with virgin jungle. And it's a beautiful place. Sometime you come down there, I'll take you and show it to you. What a lovely volcano. But one day, as I was exploring the volcano, I discovered why it is such a safe place. I found the fumarolas. Fumarolas. It would be like the equivalent of smoke pipes. I found the smoke pipes. I found an area in the volcano where there are big holes. Some of them are 3 feet in diameter. And you look in there and you're way down there. You don't know where it comes from. And every so often, whoosh, the gas escapes. And you step back. They actually have some ropes there where you can't get close because of the steam, the pressure. But, you know, I always do that. I get to go across the ropes, you know, see what's going on. I got in there and, you know, and whoosh, I got back pretty quick. Fumarolas. And I went back and explained to my family, you know why that volcano is so safe? I just love to hike on that volcano. He's safe because although he is not totally dormant, he has the fumarolas. And he lets off the steam and the pressure. That volcano would be very dangerous if someday those fumarolas would stop working. Many people walk around like walking volcanoes. And they haven't found their spiritual fumarolas. They haven't found a way to get release. And they walk around like a time bomb. And every so often, there's an eruption. And eruptions are always damaging. I can only imagine that volcano when it erupted. There's a lake in front of that volcano, and it's sprinkled with islands. I don't know, 100 islands? I'm not sure if I'm exaggerating, but it's a touristic place, and some of these islands have cabins on it. It's beautiful. You can go see it. But when you stand on the volcano and you look down on that lake, you can easily understand what happened. There was one day a huge eruption that spewed out lava and created these little islands on the lake. That's what happens when we don't find release the right way through the Lord Jesus Christ. When we don't find the freedom of forgiveness, when we don't confront our problems the way the Bible says, when we don't have repentance, when there's no prayer. Prayer is such a beautiful fumarola. If you're having problems with your brother and you feel like things aren't going good and you feel angry at him, then it's time to get on your knees and give vent to your feelings through prayer, by giving up, by forgiving. What a beautiful thing to forgive. You know, when we think of Christ's forgiveness forgiving us, it's such a beautiful thing. But we turn around and God asks us to forgive our brother. It's such a hard thing to do. But I would like to bless you with the idea that it is a beautiful thing to forgive, to turn loose. Oh, yes, it hurts. Oh, yes, we have struggled with our flesh. But in the name of Jesus, we get on our knees and we give vent to all those feelings through prayer, through fasting. You know, a lot of people give vent to their feelings through cursing, swearing, hitting, fighting. But God wants us to find release through Him. Prayerful confrontation, working with people that way, and many other things. There's a tremendous freedom in forgiveness. When you could walk out into the stars and lift your hands to heaven and say, Lord, is there anything between me and you? And we immediately have to ask ourselves the same question. It's because thou shalt love the Lord thy God. It also says thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And we stretch up our arms and we say, Lord, is there anything between me and my brother? It's all one package. It can't be one or the other. That's what it's about. What a beautiful thing is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind and all your strength, and to be free from bitterness and anger. If there's anybody here tonight that is bound with anger, King Jesus wants to help you be free from those grave clothes. The next point I have is your passions and lusts. And I know we talked the whole evening about it last night. But since I know and have experienced that this idol is the number one tool that Satan uses, and is the one that he uses to destroy so many people, and so many people are bound. And I appreciate so much the people that came forward last night. Honest. Just stepping out of the closet and saying, I've got a problem, and coming up here and praying and asking God for forgiveness. But I know there are a lot of people that should have come that didn't. So now we're back to this phone call this afternoon. Last night, while I was preaching, there was a sister on the phone line. And as she tried to hear the message, and as she wept because of the problem she had in her home, there was somebody trying to get the phone away from her, threatening her, and mocking her last night. You know, Satan's angry at these meetings. I don't know if you felt it. I sure have. Satan is angry because the word of God, the word of truth, jerks off that mask that the devil has on his face and helps us see who he is and what he's doing. So the devil was very angry last night. And this man was cursing at his wife. He tried to take the phone away from her. I don't want to hear anything from that preacher. I don't want to hear anything that he says. And then he said other bad things. And then he mocked. He and his sons, the wife's sons, mocked her. To the point where I think she missed part of the message last night. But the thing that shocked me was when I heard her story today on the phone. I happened to know years ago, I happened to know that man. I sat under his devotions and topics in church years ago. I watched him. I lived in his basement for 3 months. He was what you would call a model young man in church. But my spirit said, something's wrong. Many years ago, this man lived in pornography for 18 years. Totally covered, totally hidden. The model man, the member of the church, 18 years in pornography. And when finally His sin caught up with him. His life totally went awry. And he's into all kinds of evil with his children. And his wife is alone at home, weeping, crying, and praying, and trying to not lose her mind. A very, very sad situation. Do you know what she told me? She said, "Would you please pray with me tonight with those 1,500 people that are listening to you?" Let's stand to our feet to pray for her. Heavenly Father, possibly our dear sister is listening to this message. We don't know. But you know exactly where she's at and what she's going through. You know that she has been mocked and laughed at for listening at these messages. Lord, this man has been mocking these messages. Lord, forgive him. Have mercy on his soul, because it's Satan that's behind it all. And I would pray that even as he's fighting, even as he argues against you, even as his heart is full of bitterness and hate and wrath, Lord, he knows the truth. That's why he's struggling. That's why he's fighting. Oh, help the sister to love him. Help the sister to break her heart before you, that you could get rid of any bitterness and hate on her part, that she could release him and her sons and her daughters, that she could just give it all up to you and somehow love them even when they have turned against her and she is all alone. Lord, I plead for the grace of Jesus Christ in her life. I plead for the help of the Holy Spirit. I pray that you would bless the church that's helping her. I pray that you would comfort her heart tonight. Oh, Lord, as we beg before you, we thank you because we believe you're doing your work. And Heavenly Father, if David Strover is here tonight listening to this message, I pray that you would strike his heart and bring him to you. And this dear family again, I bring to you and ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. The Bible says, "Be sure your sins will find you out." You know, a lot of people live in a closet, a secret closet, giving room to their lusts. A lot of people are running away spiritually from God like Jonah. And then there are the Achans that hide their sin. Oh, they do such a good job. They hide it under the tent. They bury it in the ground. But be sure your sin will find you out. I've seen it happen again in Nicaragua again and again. Somebody tries to hide. Somebody tries to keep that sin covered. But something's wrong and life is not the same. It always comes out. I would like to beg you tonight in the name of the Lord Jesus, if there's anybody here that is living in some dark closet with lust, immorality, whatever it may be, just let King Jesus come into your heart tonight. Let him roll away the stone and let him bring life and then unwind you and unbound you, because if you're serving Satan in this way, if you're not living in holiness the way God asks you to, then you have a serious problem. You cannot love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength if you are feeding the idol. If you step out every so often, maybe you say, Lord, I'm sorry. Maybe it's once a week, maybe it's once a month, maybe it's once a year. But you have a problem that's not dealt with. You haven't sought for help. You haven't gotten victory. You're not free. And every so often you sneak out and you make sure nobody's looking and you take that little platter of food for the idol and you serve the idol, you worship him, and then you go back in to your normal life and you go back to church and you say, "Praise the Lord." Look at what the people did in the Ephesian people. "And many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed." Oh, that we could be free from these bonds that tear us down. "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. Now, if that's your case tonight, as you hear these words and hear this message, rejoice. Thank the Lord, because you're blessed. Your sins have been forgiven and you're free. But bear with me. For the sake of those that aren't free, that are bound. The psalmist said, when I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. Are your bones roaring? Is your life a mess? And although you try to hide it, things are not well. And you know it good and well that it isn't. And your bones are roaring all day long. Night and day, thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. Is God's hand heavy on you tonight? King Jesus is waiting. King Jesus wants to come to release your bonds and break your shackles and your chains. I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and my iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Selah. I just pray that you would come and love the Lord with all your heart tonight and bring it all up. Such a refreshing thing to find peace and release. There might be other shackles that you face, but Jesus wants to break them all. I'd like to read a little portion in closing in Revelations. Revelations chapter 5. And I saw on the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside sealed with seven seals. A little book sealed tight. When I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look therein. Thereupon, and I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read this book, neither to look thereon. One of the elders said to me, weep not. Behold the lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb, as if it had been slain. 7. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four and the beast, and then you go on with the story there. I want to take this just a little out of context. The Lion of Judah came down and broke the seals on the little book and opened it up and revealed its mysteries. Could you believe in your heart tonight that the Lion of Judah could come down and break the shackles in your life? Be it shackles of fear, be it shackles of bitterness and hate, be it shackles of lust. King Jesus, the Lion of Judah, wants to come tonight to break the seals in your heart. First of all, it talks about the throne, God the Father, and then we see something coming right out of the throne, right out of the Father. It's a lamb, as if he were slain. And that was Jesus. He died on the cross for us like a lamb. He shed his blood. What a beautiful thing. The gentle Jesus. But you know, Jesus today, resurrected from the dead, and he sits at the right hand of God, and he's coming back again. And he's not going to come back on a little donkey wearing sandals. He's going to come back on a white horse, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The glorified Jesus is coming back. The Lion of Judah is coming back to take his people home. And the Lion of Judah is here this evening. And he would like to come into your hearts. This is not just some little kitty. This is the great Lion of Judah. Do you see him shaking his awesome mane? Can you hear him roar? The great Lion of Judah, his piercing eyes are looking into your heart. And as he is full of holiness and glory and wrath at sin, he is also full in love and compassion for you as he comes tonight with all power, all authority to deal with sin in your life. Could you have faith tonight in the King of Judah, the Lion of Judah, and let him come in with his awesome power and his awesome holiness? Let's bow our words for our heads for prayer. Heavenly Father, this evening I ask that you would bring in King Jesus, the great Lion of Judah that loves to break the shackles in people's hearts. Lord, I know that tonight there's some people here that have their hearts bound with things that aren't right, whatever they are, big or small. Things that are hindering your people from praising your name and for serving you and giving testimony. Lord, I believe there are a lot of people here tonight that do have their hearts right with you. And I pray that you would bless them tonight. Put your arms around them and just give them courage and strength to go on. Give them victory, more victory and more holiness as they draw closer to you. But I know there's some here that are bound. Thank you, King Jesus, because you want to release them tonight. As we proceed with the invitation, I pray, O Lion of Judah, that you would go roaring up and down the pews and speaking to the hearts and offering your beautiful salvation, your beautiful freedom. Oh, bring the people forward in the name of Jesus. This is your time, O God. I turn it over to you now. This time of invitation is very, very special, very holy. I just pray that you would take over as you woo the souls. In Jesus' name we pray. Let's sing song number 88. And as we sing, let Jesus touch your heart. Let him knock on your cold heart's door. It doesn't have to be a big thing. I talked about some very big things, but there's a lot of small things that hinder. If you want to be free tonight, if there's something in your heart that's bothering you and troubling you and you've not been able to shake it off and you've not been able to be free, do yourself the favor in coming as we sing song number 88 and as we pray in reverence in God's presence. Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood. Power in the blood. Come, you are evil, victory win. There's wonderful power in the blood. Lord bless you, sister. There is power, wonder-working power. Come as we sing. In the blood of the Lamb, there is power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you be free from your passion and pride? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Come for a cleansing to Calvary's side. There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. It's a beautiful thing to come meet King Jesus. Don't be bashful. Don't say that that funny feeling in your heart is just your nerves. The Holy Spirit is touching you. He's loving you. Come as we sing. What a beautiful thing to come to the feet of Jesus for a washing. Would you be whiter, much whiter than snow? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Sin stains are lost in its life-giving flow. There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you do service for Jesus, your King? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you live daily His praises to sing? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Let's sing "Just As I Am" as we continue to wait. There's more people out there. As Jesus speaks to your hearts, you may come as we sing. 97. Just as I am without one. Come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come, just as I am, and waiting not to of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings and fears within, without, O Lamb of God, I come. As we sing the last verse, you may still come. Just as I am, thou wilt receive, will welcome, pardon, cleanse, relieve, because thy promise I believe, oh.
I come.
We're going to sing that verse after all. The fourth one. Just as I am, poor wretch, thy riches healing of the mind, yea, all I need in thee I find, O Lamb of God, I come. What a beautiful thing to love the Lord Jesus. What a beautiful thing is to see him love you and to see him bring you forward to his holy presence so he can forgive your sins. This is the work of Jesus. This is the work of the Holy Spirit, because he loves you so much. His heart is longing so you can be free. I would like to pray especially for these dear people that came forward. And as I pray, if there's somebody here that would like to counsel, you saw somebody go forward, maybe it's your friend, maybe it's your son, or maybe it's just somebody the Lord put on your heart, you can come forward as we pray, put your arm around them and counsel them. And after the service, then we will continue to look for counselors for whoever needs it. Congregation, you can rise to your feet. Oh, great line of Judah, come down in your holy presence and break the bonds of these dear people. We don't know what they are. Lord, I believe there's some new conversions here. There's some young people that came forward for the first time. There's some people here that have been Christians for a long time and are struggling, and they have some bonds, some shackles. There's some ministers here. Oh, Lord, we praise you for loving us so much, for dealing with their hearts and bringing us to the point of repentance so that we can be clean. King Jesus, God the Father, Holy Almighty Jehovah, just like Elijah came to the cleft of the rock and you spoke to him there in that still small voice, speak to these people, oh God. Minister to their needs. Break those bonds. Forgive their sins. Do a deep spiritual work in their hearts as they commit themselves to you, as they confess their sins, as they surrender their all, as they give you their hearts, their souls, their bodies, and their minds. Oh, we thank you, Lord, for this beautiful work that you have done tonight in the hearts of these people. And I pray that even as the counselors come and as these people go back into the back to receive help, oh Lord, that you would just minister to their needs and help them. We thank you and we worship you tonight. And we give you all the honor and the glory. Lord, I also want to pray again for those that did not come, that you would continue to speak to their hearts and give them courage to make their lives right with you before it is forever too late. We thank you and praise you. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Now, I would like to sing a couple congregational songs yet. It's a little late. It's 9 o'clock, but that doesn't matter, I don't think. I would suggest that the people that came forward, would the ones that need counseling, would move to the back of the tent. And then as these people move to the back of the tent, I would just invite the Christians from any church. It doesn't matter. But if you love the Lord, you're going to be willing to come forward and help these brothers and sisters. Go back there and put your arms around them and love them into the kingdom and cooperate with Jesus as he releases their bonds. And I would like to now rejoice and sing a couple songs. I want to ask my family to come forward. As the people step out the back, please don't be bashful. If you love the Lord Jesus, you can come and help. You can come and be part.